Okay, great. Welcome, everybody. Good to see everyone in person and online. We are now holding in our third shir in this new Torah, Torah Nun Vav 56. And something exciting, this is the 101st shir of this Likutei Moran Chabura that we started, I don't know how many years ago. 101 shirim, this is the 101st. I knew that last week was our 100th one, but I thought it's more apropos to mention something by the 101st shir. As Chazal tell us, there's no comparing someone who learned something 100 times to someone who learned something 101 times. Really, it doesn't apply to what we're talking about because we're not chazering, we're not learning the same thing 101 times. Sorry, I had to fix my Wi-Fi. We're not learning the same thing 101 times, but nonetheless, it's a good number to say. Anyway, a momentous occasion for us. So shkoyach to everybody for who's been here for however long. If you've been here since the beginning, like I know Carmela was here at the beginning, at the very, very beginning, and a few other people. But if you just came today for the first time, amazing. So let's get moving and let's get into this Torah. So we started off by saying in this Torah that every Jew has an aspect of Malchus, an aspect of authority or leadership that they have. And according to that certain aspect of them, that's what they're going to have, rulership, authority, influence over a certain sphere of people. And then we said that this aspect of Malchus is going to be something that's in the revealed realm as well in the concealed realm. And just because you have Malchus over the revealed realm doesn't mean that you know what's going on in the concealed realm. There could be such a thing where you have a certain influence over someone in the concealed realm, in the hidden realm, and you have no idea who they are even. We're going to see. And nonetheless, you have such a thing. And it seems by at the end of this portion over here, the Rebbe seems to be telling us that these two things are connected. We've been understanding it that the way that the Iskasia and the Isgalia, the hidden realm and the concealed realm, the hidden realm and the revealed realm are connected, is that one of our jobs that we're understanding from this Torah is to reveal the concealed. Our job is to reveal that aspect of concealed Malchus that we have. This is what Malchus is. Malchus is to reveal that which we have inside. And so we're going to see, you know, we explain this idea that we all have this thing called the Chelek Elikam Mimal inside us. We all have this deep soul that is the most hidden, most godly part of us, most pure part of us. And our job in the world is to get rid of all the klipas, all the coverings, all the schmutz that's covering up that amazing holy part of my deepest self, and to reveal that in the world. It seems to be this is the road we're going down, right? This is the road we're going down when it comes to Malchus, is to reveal that deep part of myself. And so then we said after that that it's possible even that there's such a person who has no Malchus in the world, no revealed influence in the world whatsoever, but nonetheless has influence, authority over the whole entire world and all the tzaddikim of the generation, the whole entire generation, right? And we explained the concept of tzaddik yisoid olam, this deep concept of a tzaddik who really has behind the scenes control over everything. We see that there's concepts like we said, the tzaddik can be geyser, the tzaddik can make a decree and Hashem fulfills it. Right? The tzaddikim have tremendous power in the world. Anyway, this is all from before. Then we said, that malchus that we have, that authority that we have to be absolutely sure that we do not use it for our own gratification and our own benefit. Because if we do such a thing, it's going to go down south very quickly. We said that rather the malchus has to be this aspect of ben chorin. It has to be free. It has to be not enslaved to my own taivas, my own desires. Rather, it has to be a free person. And then we said this is like Mordechai Atzadik. Mordechai Atzadik from the Purim story, his name means remember where the Gemara says Mordechai min haTorah minayin. Where do we see Mordechai in the Torah? And it says that it's this this spice, because it's called Mordor, which is frankincense, which the Targum Onkelos translates it as Maradachia, which is the letters of Mordechai. So Mordechai is this spice called Mordor, frankincense, and Mordor means Mar, Marus, the Malchus, the authority, is Dror, free. So that the Malchus has to have Dror and Cheres, the Malchus has to be free. What does it mean to be free? The Rebbe asks and answers that everything that I do with my authority, with my Malchus, is Ki Im Li Hashem, only for Hashem Yisbarach. Everything that I use my Malchus for has to be for Hashem. And then we said that, and this applies to everyone, and all the Malchus they have in the revealed realm, and the hidden realm. And so what does it mean to use my Malchus Ki Im Lashem? What does it mean to use my Malchus only for Hashem? It means Lahazir Ulahaychiach, to caution and rebuke those people who are under my sphere of influence. Caution and rebuke the people in my house, or the more people, or the whole world, depending on what my sphere of influence is. Right? And we left last week saying, don't try this at home yet, kids. Don't go and caution and rebuke everybody, because we have to see what Rabbi Nachman is talking about over here. He doesn't mean that you should go and start yelling at everybody, right? We have to see, even though sometimes we might want to. And just a couple of points just to that came up over the week. One of the aspects that we're coming on to this idea that we said last week, by the way, that the Malchus develops through the Sif. We see it starts that the Malchus is first the Malchus Sheyeshloi. Then at the end of Siv Beis, it's the Malchus Shaloi, like it's getting closer to him. We see that it started off that it has to be first, it has to be an aspect of Ben Chorin, which we understood. What does Ben mean? It means the son of, or the product of. It has to first be the product of freedom. In other words, I have to first stop using my Malchus in the wrong way, right? And then it's going to begin to develop into something more powerful, which is it's going to be an aspect of Ben Chorin, the product of that freedom. But then if I take it to the level of Mordechai Tzadik, it's going to get even higher, and it's going to be, when it's Kiyum Lashem, then it's going to live in Cheres, in absolute freedom. Not just a product of freedom, it is going to be freedom, right? And we can understand this idea that we're trying to build up over here, that the idea of serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, of serving the Malchus, is revealing the hidden. My power of Malchus in the revealed realm is coming from my power of Malchus in the hidden realm. And we're saying that hidden realm is this deep aspect of my soul, that place where we're on a soul level over here, right? He said that the difference between levels of people in that realm of soul, in that realm of hidden Malchus, is dependent on the person's soul, right? He said that there's different levels. If you look over here, he says, the end of Aleph, he says, what does it mean? Afila, one second. He says, Hu Moshe al Eilel Anashim, ki nishmasam heim tachtav. Their souls are below his. It's a soul level. Maybe one of the reasons that Rabbi Nachman is using the aspect of the level of soul to tell us that one soul can be above another one and have influence on it is because it's at that deep soul level that our real Malchus is. And that's what has to go from Iskasia, from that hidden deep place, to Isgalia, to the revealed realm. And it's really in the words. Why did Rabbi Nachman call the revealed Malchus the revealed Malchus, the Malchus Isgalia? Right? If it wasn't being revealed, or if it didn't need to be revealed, it wouldn't be called Isgalia. It would just be. It would just exist. Right, the fact that we're using this term Isgalia means that it has to be revealed from something that's hidden. Meaning what? That the Malchus Iskasia, the hidden Malchus, is my deep inner soul self that needs to be revealed into the world in a proper way of Malchus, of proper holy Malchus. That's just a little bit more of the way we've been understanding things. So now we're starting today Sif Gimel. That's letter 3 in the BRI Likutei Moran. We're on page 290. Okay, now this Sif, everybody should be prepared. We're going to talk about things, and we're not going to know what they mean yet. It's going to take time to understand what they mean, but we'll translate them and we'll do our best to understand. Says the Rebbe, Sif Gimel. Remember, the Rebbe just finished telling us that we can't use the Malchus for our own needs. Rather, we have to use it only for Hashem. Now he says, we have to draw into the Malchus, Arichas Yamim, which means lengthy days, length of days, long days. L'soich HaMalchus, into the Malchus. Shaloi tiyeh, that it shouldn't become, b'vechinas, like this aspect of, what the Gemara in Pesachim says, HaRabbanis Mikaberes Es Ba'aleha, that authority buries those who possess it. Authority buries those who possess it. In other words, if we don't draw this Arichas Yamim, this length of days, into our Malchus, then it's going to be like this. It's going to destroy us. It's going to bury us. Without Arichas Yamim, Malchus Mekaberes Es Ba'aleha. It's going to bury us. So, a few things. Just a few very interesting things. First of all, it's important to note, Arichas Yamim. Is that ringing a bell in anybody's ears when it comes to Kabbalah? What? Arichas Yamim, length of days, long days. What do you got?
Well, this is from Gedalia.
Yeah?
So he's saying the length of days is waking up early, starting your prayers. So if we lengthen our days, we get more of the good in, because that's a good part of the day.
Okay.
The evening is more where we get drawn into, let's say.
Right.
Not necessarily.
Okay. Okay, I hear. That's a good shot. But Kabbalistically, length of days, Arichas Yamim, is referring to the highest sphera of Keser, which we know is called Arich, but it's got two names, Arich Anpin and Atik Yoimin. Atik Yoimin means old, long days, the highest sphere of Keser, right? And we see this term used. We saw it also in Torah Samech, this same concept of Arichas Yamin, but in a different way. But it's referring to the highest possible level in all of the Kabbalistic levels, Arichas Yamin. So there's something about, which we don't quite understand yet, but drawing this very, very high idea into our Malchus somehow. And it happens to be Keser is the top, is the highest of all the spheres, and Malchus is the lowest of all the spheres. Right? And those two spheres are very, very, very connected. We know that in the structure of spheres, the lowest sphere of one level, which is its Malchus, becomes really the Keser, the highest sphere of the next level below it. Right? So that sphere of Malchus is sometimes Malchus and sometimes Keser. Malchus means kingdom and Keser means crown, right? Which is, sir, I'm sure you've heard the term before, Keser Malchus, right? The crown of the kingdom, the crown of the king, kingly crown. But Keser, it's called this because they're very connected. And there's a very deep concept, which we're going to end up speaking about drawing from the very highest place down into the very lowest place, which seems to be something that we can start thinking about now, even though it's not in the words yet over here. But Arichas Yamim is a very deep word in Rabbi Nachman language. That's the first thing. The second thing is this pasuk that we're quoting over here, Harabanis Mekaberes Es Ba'aleha. It's from a Gemara. The Gemara is saying over here something very interesting, that it was common. This is very cool. It's common that the rule or the period of a certain one of the Nevi'im, a certain prophet, would span the lifetimes of many kings, right? Four, even sometimes. The Gemara is talking about this, the one we're quoting over here. It says, for example, here, he brings down Reb Chaim over here, that Yeshayahu, the prophet, he was a prophet during the reign of Uzziahu, Yotam, Achaz, and Chizkiyahu. All these four kings were kings while he was the prophet, right? So that's very interesting, because and the statement that we're saying over here is Rabbanus Mekaberes Es Ba'aleha, having authority, having rulership, buries you, right? So it says over there that there's this aspect that being a leader, being a king, can shorten your life, can take your days away, right? So you have four kings through the life of one prophet. The question is, the prophet Yeshayahu, Isaiah, the prophet, right? He had a serious level of authority himself. He was like the main Navi, the prophet Isaiah, right? Who doesn't know him? He has a whole sefer in the biblical canon named after him. Didn't he also have a very strong malchus? What's the story? What's the story? So a beautiful idea is that, and once again, this is an aspect of learning Likutei Moran, where we take what we have now, what we're getting now, and we look back to see what we to see what the Rebbe has told us so far. We connect this part to the previous parts. We try to understand each part of the Torah of Rabbi Nachman based on other parts that we've seen, without going to other crazy sources, right? So what do we see? What did the Rebbe just tell us in the, right before this? He told us that we have to be sure not to use the Malchus lehanasoi letzarkoi. You can't use it for your own gratification or benefit. Rather, only ki'im l'Hashem yisbrach. Only use it for Hashem. Right? And what is ki'im l'Hashem? We said, what is only using it for Hashem? Is to be mazri and mechiach kol b'nei beiser, whoever you have authority over. To rebuke, to caution and rebuke all those around you. Right? That's what it means. When you're using Malchus properly, you're taking whatever Hashem gives you and you're not keeping any of it. You're only using it to put out into the world in the way that you're going to be able to positively affect your sphere of influence. Right? So why did Yeshaya and Navi live so long? Why did many prophets live so long and through the reign of many kings? Because this is their whole life. They receive prophecy from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and what do? They go around telling people, guys, get it together. Right? We gotta get better. We gotta work on things. Things are gonna happen. Let's go, let's go, let's go. The whole job of a prophet is to take what he gets from the Ribbono Shel Olam and give it straight out to the people who depend on him. And since this was his whole life and this is what he did, he had arichas yomim. He had long days. He had a long life. He didn't have this opposite aspect of Rabbanus Mekaberes Hezbaleha, that authority buries those who possess it. Right? So, if you're not, we're seeing very, very clearly, sort of over here, right from the Gemara over here, and from the Psukim of Yeshaya Navi, the kings who didn't use it in the right way, their lives were cut short, because Rabbanus Mekaberes Es Baleha. Yes, right. That's a whole other story. Right, but Yeshaya Hanavi, who spent his whole life just being a conduit for the messages of the Ribbono Shel Olam, just for thinking about everyone else and doing what he can to strengthen the Malchus, right? He lived through these four kings, right? So that's where we're at over here with this. But anyway, this is what we have to be careful of. A new aspect, Arichas Yomim, is going to save us, length of days, is going to save us from the Malchus destroying us, right? So it's a key ingredient, must be, of Malchus, Arichas Yomim. And once again, we're saying, from cheating a little bit, that we know in the Kabbalistic world that Arichas Yomim is the sphere of Keser, and maybe we're saying that we got to draw it down, but we don't know what it is yet still. We still don't know. With that in mind, let's keep going. Kol echad lefi bechinas ha-malchus sheyesh lai, every individual, according to the malchus that he has, hu bechinas tzoife. Now, every person, we're going to enter something new over here. Every person, according to the malchus that they have, has an aspect of being a watchman, a tzoife, a watchman, a lookout, right? Shemutal alav, so what does it mean, a tzoife, a watchman? So, right, in the old days, you'd have we still have it, just in a different way, but you'd have a city, and there would be, you know, a certain type of military protection, let's say, or a certain, you'd have a watchman standing up on the tower, the gate tower of the city, whatever it is, and he'd be looking, and if he saw that some bad characters were coming, what would he do? He'd sound the alarm, he'd wake everybody up, and everybody would arm themselves and get ready to go to battle. So his job is to take care of everybody, to make sure that bad stuff isn't coming, and if bad stuff is happening, he tells everybody, and then everybody can grab their arms and get together and do what they have to do. That's what a tzoife is, a watchman, right? So how are we a watchman over here? How is our malchus in the form of being a tzoife, a watchman? Shemutal alav, lahazir lechiyach hasanashim shehim mesharashay, that it is placed upon us to caution and rebuke those people who are from our roots. So you'll notice that he used a new term over here, from our roots, from our shurish. Up until now, he said that in the hidden realm, the people that we influence are connected somehow to our soul below us, right? And in the revealed realm, It was the people who are B'nai Beiser. They're our family members. They're whoever we're connected to. But now he's saying, when we're talking about everything together, that these people are from our same root. There's something that roots us together. If you remember, in the first year we had on Torah Nun Vav, we mentioned this concept of the tree. And how you have that one big tzaddik, who is the big trunk of the tree, right? And then we always have this in every generation. And then you'll have big branches that come out who are big, big tzaddikim, but they're all sort of underneath that one big tzaddik. And each one of those branches will have other branches with other people, and so on and so forth. It'll all branch out, keep going, branching and branching and branching out to the ends, to the twigs and the leaves and everything, right? But at some point, every person, since we all have a malchus, we are that root branch somewhere in that whole big tree, and we have other little branches underneath us. So those other branches and those other things are kind of connected to our root somehow, right? Somehow we're all connected at that root level. So we're gonna have to see, but that's not necessarily so important for us right now. But let's just understand that. But this is what it means to be a watchman. It's placed upon us that we have to look out for and caution and rebuke those people below us. The ones that we have malchus over. Now listen to this. We're going to take it to a new level. So first of all, Atsoife, he's giving us something new now over here, which sounds like he's putting the aspect of responsibility onto us now. Right? Responsibility. It could have been in the past, up until we just read today, it could be that you could have a power of malchus, and if you weren't using it for your own selfish needs, right? But you also weren't using it actively for Hashem, that maybe that's okay. Right? I wasn't using it for my own selfish needs. I wasn't really using it. Right? I was sitting at home watching Netflix all day. Okay? I wasn't going around and, maybe that's called, that probably would also be using it for my own selfish needs, but whatever. If I'm not using it anyway. Now he's saying that's not good enough. You can't just not use it for selfish needs, right? There's another thing. You have a responsibility. You are a tzoife. You're a watchman. You're a lookout. And it's mutalalav. It's placed upon you to look out for those people who are below you. It's like you have an active responsibility to be proactive in taking care of those people who are connected to you. Right? So we have to use it now. We're seeing we have to use it. It's a new level. Oy vavoy. So much responsibility, hey guys. It's pretty crazy. Yeah. Yeah. So what do we have to do? So he says now, and now it's going to go even one step further. Get ready for this and look out. If you cautioned and rebuked those people who are underneath your sphere of influence, then you did your part. Good job. You did your part. And you saved your own soul. You saved your own self. Like the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, Pasuk says, Tzoyfe nasaticha leveis Yisrael. I made you a watchman over the house of Israel. And it's and then it goes on to say, Va'ata ki hisharta rasha v'loy shav merishoy. And you, since you warned the evil person, the rasha, v'loy shav merishoy, and he did not do tshuva, he didn't turn away from his evil ways. Hu ba'avoyna yamus, he is going to die in his sinful ways, let's say. Va'ata es nafshecha hitzalta. And you saved your own soul. Right? So it sounds like we're saying over here, let's just go a tiny bit further. Aval im eino mazir mechichas. But if you didn't caution and rebuke them, azaya oinash alav, then the punishment is on you. Valkein, harabonus mekaberes es ba'aleha. And therefore, that's why authority can bury those who possess it. Because if you did your job, even if they didn't listen to you, but you tried, right? You saved yourself. But the rest of the psukim, he doesn't bring them down completely over here. But the rest of the psukim are like this. Listen to this. Right. It says, Ubeshuv tzadik mitzidkoi, vasa avel venasati mikshol lefanav, hu yomos ki hizarta bechatasoi yomos, veloi hizarta tzidkoi asher asa vedamo miyadech avakesh. And if there was a tzadik out there who did something he shouldn't have done, he did an avera, and you didn't warn him, then damoi miyadech avakesh, I'm going to demand his blood from you. Right? Vataki hizarta tzadik, levilti chatoi tzadik, vahu loy chata. But if you did warn him, and then vahu loy chata, and then he didn't sin, chayu yiye kin nizar v'ata es nafshachitza, and you saved your own soul. But so what does he say over here? The part that he didn't say in our version. He said, umidamoi miyadecha avakesh. If a guy goes off the derech and starts doing averas, and he does not do tshuva from them, and he's under your malchus, and you didn't make an effort to save him, to rebuke him, to caution him, then it's on you, right? It's actually, if you just think about it for a second, he's just saying something. It sounds like a very fair system. You have a job to do. If you do your job, even if he doesn't listen to you, and the guy goes and does bad things, it's not your fault. You did your part. He's got his problems, but you're es nafshecha hitzalta. You saved your own soul. But on the other hand, if a person did bad things and you didn't warn them, you didn't do your part, then he's going to be in trouble. But also, I'm going to put it on you, right? Damoi miyadcha avakesh. I'm going to demand his blood from you also. So we have a part to do. So now we introduced 2 minutes ago the concept of responsibility within the malchus. We have to use it actively, right, with those who are connected to us. Not only that, now we're introducing the concept of accountability. We have to use it, and there's a cheshbon. Someone's keeping track over here, right? If we use it in the right way, we're going to be okay. But if we don't use it in the right way, then whatever happens underneath us is our responsibility. We are accountable for what happens to those who are beneath our sphere of influence, right? As long as we try, as long as we do our part, we're okay. So think about that for a minute. I know everyone's probably thinking about the fact that we have people below us and it's not always working out the way we would like to see it, right? So just, this is another part, another one of the times where we say something that we say often, right? Which is that we do not run the world and we are not in control of the lives of other people and even what needs to happen to them. Sometimes people need to go through things that are going to be difficult for them, and it's not going to be easy, and it's going to be hard for them. And we can't stop that from happening. That's the plan of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Even if there are children, even if there are people who are close to us, we don't run the world, and they are their own individuals who have to go through their own things. Our job is to do our honest best, to do whatever we can to guide them in the right way, to help them in the right way, and to even sometimes save them if we can. But when we do our part and we try our best and we do what we can, then we have to understand that the outcome is up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And this is exactly what these psukim are telling us from Yechezkel. You do your part. You have to be mazir and mechiach them. And if you do, then they may not listen to you. This is what Hashem is telling us. They may not listen to you. And if they don't, that's their problem. But you did your part. And you saved your own soul, right? They need to go through what they need to go through, but for this time you did your part. They'll probably do tshuva afterwards, the other people, I'm sure. Maybe if not in that Gilgul, maybe in another one, maybe later on in a few years, whatever. We're all going to do tshuva eventually. Let's just try to do it sooner. It'll make it much easier. Okay, you guys with me? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let's go weiter. Aval, im eino mazir mechichas ha-mazai ha-oinish ha-lov. If you didn't caution and rebuke them, then the punishment is on you. Valkein harabanus mekaberes es baaleha. That's why the Gemara says that authority buries those who possess it. Valkein tzarich lirais lahamsheich arichas yomim l'tzarich hamalchus. Therefore, we have to see to it that we draw down this concept of arichas yomim into the malchus. This concept of length of days into the malchus. Dehainu sheyire sheyuchal lahazir lechiach esam. That we have to see to it that we have the ability to, sheyuchal, that we are able to caution and rebuke them. It doesn't say we have to finish the job. It doesn't say we have to change them. We have to see to it that we have the ability to caution and rebuke them. This is what we have to do. So another interesting thing, another thing that we're pointing out from this whole situation over here, of Iskasia, Isgalia, is taking from the reveal, the hidden and revealing, right? And saying that every single person has a malchus, and one person's here, and one person's here, and one person's here, and we all have people under us, and those people have people under them, always, right? That means that in the whole system, there's always a receiving of something from above that we then do not usurp for ourselves. We take that and we give it out. A constant receiving and giving. Receiving and giving. Receiving and giving. This is part of the malchus. It's like a loop. I receive, I give. I receive, I give, right? So Rabbi Nachman Fried, who I learn with a lot, this Torah, he said that this is maybe one of the ways we can understand this concept of Rabbanus Mekaberes Es Baaleha. That this authority, when it's used the wrong way, it buries us. Because what's happening is we're supposed to be constantly receiving and then giving. Receiving and then giving. And when we do that, it's like a flow that's flowing through us, right? But what happens when we decide to take? The way he explains it is like this, is that there's receiving and there's giving. But then there's another aspect, and that is that when I try to take, when it's not being given to me, right? When it's not what Hashem is trying to give to me that I'm just supposed to give out. I take. That's called using the malchus for my own gratification. I'm not just receiving what Hashem gives to me and then using it. I'm taking, right? So what happens then? I break the loop. I break the flow. And what happens then? It just like, it stops. And Ki'ilo, he said, it's like as if you're getting buried with all that stuff that should be coming down. You're causing it to stop. You're causing it to block. And now everything that should be coming through you into everyone else is being held up and burying and burying and burying and burying you. This is one of the ways he wanted to understand this Harabonis Mekaberes Es Baaleha, that improper use of Malchus buries those who possess it, right? So we want to keep this going. We want to keep the flow going, the receiving and then the giving, receiving and then giving, and be accountable and be responsible only to do our best to do what we can. Right? You guys with me? Yeah?
I always say that I need to do my hishtadlis and put in my effort.
Yeah.
And the results are up to Hashem.
That's right. That's it. And we just we have to make sure that someone say something?
Yeah, I just have a question, but I'll let you finish saying what you were
saying. No, go ahead.
No, so I'm just trying to understand. You said, so if I don't try to save the other person, then it's basically like it's on me, right?
Correct.
But my question is, what if you're in the middle of, you're in the process of saving yourself and trying to do your own tshuva, so it's difficult for you to save yourself and someone else at the exact same time?
I hear. So l'chaira, we have to understand, I would say like this, that if you're in a position where you're not able to, you're dealing with your own self, and because of that, you're not really able to take care of anybody else, that's not your malchus right now. That's not your bechina of malchus, right? You have to be in a place where you have authority. If you're barely hanging on to yourself, that means probably you don't have the authority. And if you thought about such a situation where I don't have a choice though, I have children, and you know I'm barely hanging on myself. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do, right? So the chayyim, this is the process that we're talking about. This is when malchus is going wrong. When I'm not able to do what I need to do, because this Rabbanus, this authority that I have, is burying me. That sounds like the exact situation that you're talking about, Yankel. I'm in a situation where I know that there's people below me. There's people that are in my sphere of influence and that need me. and I am not able to do it. Yeah, you know why? Because I haven't been doing Malchus right. I've made some mistakes, and yeah, this is the way Hashem made it all happen. And now I'm buried. How do I get out? This is what the Torah is telling us now. This is where we can find ourselves. Menachem is not saying to us, oh, you guys are reading my Sefer? I know you guys are all already perfect in Malchus, so I'm just talking about the other people when I say that Malchut Rabbanus Mekaveres Ezra'aleha. I'm talking about those no good guys. I'm not talking to you guys, my students who are reading this. No, he's talking to us. We're all going to be in this situation where we're buried by our own Malchus. We're not doing it right. And he's telling us how we're going to be able to get out of this and how what we need to do to develop it. And the first thing he told us is we need to draw into our Malchus Arichas Yamim. And he did not tell us what that means yet, right? So like last week we said that using your Malchus properly is to caution and rebuke those who are beneath you. And we said, don't do it yet. Wait, because we don't know what that means yet. Now he told us what it means. We have to draw in Arichas Yamim into our Malchus. And guess what? We still don't know what that means. So still don't use it yet. We have to learn that this whole Torah is, Rabbi Nachman is going to be telling us how to, when we find ourselves in a place of authority and it's not going, I'm not able to do it properly. What do I need to do? And this is the step that he's telling us now, Arichas Yamim. Now let's keep going and figure out what on earth he's trying to tell us. Yeah? You with me, Uncle?
Yep.
Okay, good. Okay, yeah. Okay, so he's going to ask now. He's not going to ask your question, but he's going to ask another great question that we should all have already. Ach, eich efshar lo elahazir lechiyach esam. How is it possible to caution and rebuke them? Ki eino yedeya mashe tzarech lehem. First of all, I don't know what they need. I don't know what they need. I don't know what to give them. I don't know what I need to do to them. Right? That's the first point. V'gam einam etzlei lechiyach esam. And also, in the realm of Iskasya, the hidden realm, they're not even here. I don't even know who they are. How can I possibly be expected to caution and rebuke these people? First of all, how do I know what they need? I don't know what they need. And second of all, who are they? They're not here with me. I can't do it. Right? I can't do it. So it's interesting. He's saying the words over here. We were careful in the language over here, and we inferred that he doesn't say, "Ki eno yedeya ma ani tzarich laseis lahem." I don't know what I need to do. That's not what he says. He says, I don't know what is needed for them. What they need. What is needed for them. Right? And it's such an important point to bring out a little bit, because we're saying now, what's the first thing that comes into your mind when we say you have to caution and rebuke those that are below you? It's like, okay, I see that the kids did not take their dinner plate into the kitchen and put it in the sink today. Hey, kids, what are you doing? You know what you're supposed to be doing. Go and take it, right? That's not what we're talking about, right? Or you see that kids are something more insidious. They're getting involved in something they shouldn't get involved in, right? So is caution and rebuke being saying, hey, I'm going to caution you because you know that if you do that, bad things are going to happen. Or if you do that, bad things are going to happen to you from me. Or rebuke is stop it. I'm telling you, you know, you need to quit this. I'm in charge over here. Listen to me. That's maybe, probably not you holy people, but that might be what someone thinks about what it means to caution and rebuke. I have to tell them what you're doing is wrong in the best way I can. Stop it. Right? So is that what's needed to them? Is that what they need? Right? You have a kid who's off rebelling and doing, you know, maybe with people they shouldn't be with. Maybe they're dabbling in things they shouldn't dabble with. Right? Is what they need to be yelled at? Could be a little bit, maybe, but presumably they're doing these things because there's something very, very painful inside them. There's something wrong. There's something missing, right? There's something there that needs to be figured out, that needs to be helped, that needs to be void, that needs to be filled, let's say. Whatever it is in such a situation. So that's more along the lines, maybe. We're throwing this in. This is not Rabbi Nachman's words. These are my words, right? But what's needed to them. What do they need? Not what do I need to do. I'm the parent. I just need to tell them. I need to get it off my chest. I'm so angry with them. I just need to let out my anger on them. That's what I need. That's using the malchus for my own gratification, to lift up my own ego, or to let off my own steam, right? That's not for them, right? What's needed to them? My job is to help them. So I have to know how to do that. And I don't know what they need. I don't know what they need. How? And if I don't, how am I going to figure that out? This is what he's asking now. Valkain, so I don't know. I don't know what they need. So what does Rabbi Nachman say? Valkain, tzrichin lezeh das. For this, we need das. We need knowledge. We need deep knowledge. We need to know. What do we need? Kedei leida eich lahechicham. In order to know how to rebuke them. We have to know how to rebuke them. Das. So let's read the next line, because he's going to say something that, if you think about it, is very deep. V'lavo l'das hazeh, and to come to this das, hu gam kein al yedei arichas yamim ba'atzmai. It's also through arichas yamim itself. This word itself is a new word that he put over here, and it's stressing the arichas yamim, the length of days itself. What does that mean? To come to das, I need to have arichas yamim atzmai, length of days itself. And he says, "V'zeh she'omrim ha'olam." This is like what they say in the world, a regular expression, a worldly expression. She'eino yodea mechayav. For the life of him, he doesn't know. She'eino yodea mechayav. For the life of him, he doesn't know. Says Rabbi Nachman. Right. So, we have two big questions over here. Why? What is he saying? Arichas yamim atzmai, length of days itself. And secondly, why does Rabbi Nachman feel the need to say a goyish statement? Just a regular statement we say in the world. Oh, you know, it's like people say. Is he entertaining us? Is that what he's trying to do over here, Rabbi Nachman? Where he's careful with every single word and every single word brings so much with it? Certainly not, right? So what's this all about? It says, Ki ikar ha-yediyah hu mechayim, because the main aspect of knowledge, the main yediyah, main knowledge, is from chayim, me'arichas yamim. Comes from life, from arichas yamim, from the length of days, arichas yamim. So, let's say like this. I want to give a little bit of a Kabbalistic explanation to this, because we still don't know. This is typical of some of the learning that we do. We have no idea what the simple meaning is, but some of the Kabbalistic stuff we do know. It's silly already, but nonetheless, it's a way for us to understand here. We got to keep understanding what he's building over here. But in the meantime, let's talk about das, right? When we say the word das, and usually a good translation of das is knowledge. So what does that mean? I just read a biology textbook, so now I have a lot of knowledge. Now I have a lot of das. No.
Said das comes from Hashem, which is our Muna, so we don't get it. It's given to us.
Okay. We know that we have 10 spheres, and they're usually, there's two different ways of understanding them, but sometimes it's Chochma Bina and Das. And sometimes it's Keser Chochma Bina, right? But this aspect of, remember, Chochma is a certain type of big picture knowledge, big picture idea maybe, or thought. Big picture thought, where we see kind of a starting of something. We see some type of flash of inspiration, but within that flash of inspiration, we see the whole picture and the outcome. And then we go over to Bina, and the aspect of Bina takes that inspiration and then begins to work with it and begins to build it and turn it into something, right? And understand different aspects of it, right? Like one of the statements we use is Mevin Davar Mitoich Davar. Understanding one thing from another thing is Bina. And just like in, as we like to say, in the human reproductive system, right? The man has just one flash of inspiration as his contribution to reproduction. And then the woman takes that aspect and lives with it for 9 months. and builds it and grows it and works with it and holds onto it and protects it and stores it, right? This is the aspect of Bina. Right? Chachma is like the initial thought, and then Bina works with it and builds it and everything. So Das is when those two things kind of come together and a person has a very deep intrinsic understanding from beginning to end of a greater picture, greater than that initial flash of wisdom that held everything within it, and greater than that thing that built it and really understood all the different parts of it. It's a much greater, deep, intrinsic understanding of something is Das.
It doesn't come right? from us. Right? Like, I can read a lot and
could be.
Say I know everything, but mm-hmm. this is like what we're learning in the Tom and the Chacham, so.
No? Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just, let's just get this part, and then we can move on to that. It's just a little bit off of the track that we're going over here. So, this is Das. It's different than regular knowledge. So we just said that sometimes we have Keser Chachma Bina, sometimes we have Chachma Bina and Das. Why? So now Sandra's going to enter the room and we're going to understand that in one way, Das, why don't you ever have them together? You never have Keser and Das. That makes 11 spheres, right? And we know the Sefer Yetzirah is very careful to say 10, not 9, right? It has to be 10 spheres. Can't have 11. And so we never have Keser and Das together. Why? Why? Because Das is really a lower manifestation of Keser, of that extremely high level of understanding. Right? And so when we're saying over here now that in order to figure this out, in order to develop this Das, which is going to give us the understanding, the knowledge to be able to rebuke the way we're supposed to rebuke, we have to draw in Arichas Yamim, which is a euphemism for the sphere of Keser, down into ourselves, into Das. It's saying we have to take that very, very, very high, deep, far away, the highest, most distant from us level of consciousness, and we have to draw it down into our current existence. Keser has to come down and infuse our Das with its aura, with its light. And this is going to give us what we need over here. This is what, on a deeper level, we're saying is drawing in Arichas Yamim into the Malchus. So once again, V'lava l'das is it. How do we get to this Das? Hu gamken ayedei Arichas Yamim ba'atzmoy. That's why he used the word ba'atzmoy. It's Arichas Yamim. It's that thing. That it's it itself. Because it's one manifestation, two manifestations of the same thing. Right? This is what it means that a person, when we say a person doesn't know, for the life of him, he doesn't know. Why? Because Arichas Yamim is this aspect of Chaim, length of days, long days. That means life, long life, right? This is the source. And when a person doesn't know, it's because they are not drawing that light down into themselves. And we don't know. We're not drawing that life. We don't know from life. We don't know from Arichas Yamim. We don't know from those high levels of consciousness. Because the main aspect of Chaim comes from Arichas Yamim, comes from this very, very, very high level. Woo. So we have to draw in now. Okay, so where are we? We have to, in order to not be buried by our Malchus, to not do Malchus wrong and get totally buried, we have to make sure that we draw in Arichas Yamim. And we have a responsibility. And with that responsibility, to be a watchman, to be an outlook. Right? And together with that responsibility that we have to those below us, we have accountability. If I don't do it and things go wrong, I'm responsible for it. But if I do my part and things still go wrong, it's okay. It's not okay, but I save my soul. How can I do it? How can I rebuke people? I don't know. I don't know how to do it properly. Every time I try, someone might say, every time I try, I just get in fights. I just get, you know, it doesn't work. People get mad at me and it doesn't work. Anybody have that experience? Yeah? I try to rebuke people and it doesn't work. Yeah. It's a very big thing. Many, by the way, many Rabbanim have said that I can't remember where it comes from exactly, but that we lost the ability to give Teichacha properly. Like a long time ago. I know they said this already. I think the Rishonim already said this. For sure, this is something that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the father of the Musar movement, used to say. And so we have to know that that is generally not a good idea to go rebuking people, right? And this is what we're saying. I don't know how. How am I going to do it? I don't know what to do. I don't know what they need. So to do that, I need das. And to come to das is through this concept of Arichas Yamim, of the length of days, of this very high type of consciousness. So how do we get that? What's the next step? We're getting a little bit more onto practical steps now. That's going to get pretty awesome and pretty deep also. Ki lavoi la arichas yamim. How do I come to arichas yamim? Hu ayadei esek hatayra. It's through esek hatayra. Esek hatayra means toiling. What does esek mean? Vered, what does esek mean? Business. Esek means business. Why did Rabbi Nachman not say it's ayadei limud hatayra? Learning Torah. He didn't say that. He said esek hatayra. It's the what?
The actions.
The tasks.
Okay.
Something to think about. I have thoughts on this, but esek hatayra might.
The business of doing, of being.
Yeah.
The practical part of it.
It's being in the business of Torah. Being in the business of Torah. Right. I thought something over here. It's my own thought. I could be wrong. But one of the things we're saying over here is that you have to take this power that you have and you have to not use it for yourself. You have to use it ki'im ha'lashem yisbarach, only for Hashem. And you have to figure out the right way to do it. And not only that, you can't even just not use it at all. You have to use it. You have to be engaged in it. You have to use it. You have to. It's like something that you have to live with, your power of Malchus, right? Could be that that's the same idea over here by Esek HaTorah. Doesn't mean that, you know, yeah, so as long as I read one Mishnah every day, I'm done, that's good, I'm okay. That's not going to turn you into such a person who's always thinking, what am I doing the right thing? Am I using my malchus in the right way all the time? Am I actively, proactively doing what I need to do? That's something that you can maybe get from Esek HaTorah, that I make it my business. That you know, anyone here ever start a business from the beginning to the end? Right? So these are the things. Anyone who starts a business, you know that there's no one else to help you. When things are difficult, it all comes onto you. And you're the one who has to be up till 6 in the morning sometimes, 4 in the morning, and get up at 7 and go right back at it. And you have to. There's no one else to do it. Why? Because that's what it means to be to have an ASIC. To have something that it's your business and you're responsible for it. You just have to do it. And sometimes it's very difficult. And you're pushed. You could be pushed for weeks on end, right? Okay, so Esek HaTorah, Torah is my business, and through that I'm turning myself into a different person, turning myself into a person who Torah is his business and Malchus is his business, and then I can do these things in the right way. Then maybe things will unfold. Could be. But listen to this. Now we're gonna get to something awesome, and we'll conclude probably with this concept. Ki Oraisa Shma Dekut Shebrichu, because the Torah is a name of Hashem. Name of Hashem. A commercial tzrichin likros as echad kirin oisa bishmoy, and just like when you need to call out to someone, like to get their attention, right? You call them by their name. Kain kishetzrichim likros as chayachayim. So too, when you want to call to the life of life, the life of all life, the chayachayim, Hashem. Kedei lahamshich menu chayim va'arichas yamim, in order to draw down onto myself life and lengthy days, chayim v'arichas yamim, tzarech likrois oisoy b'shmoy kevyachal. You have to, as if we could say, you have to call him by his name. And that's ushmoy hu ha-Torah kanal. And his name, the name of Hashem, is the Torah. Nimtza shayidei esek ha-Torah korin es ha-arichas yamim. It comes out, that through being oisek in Torah, through making yourself into the Torah is my business person, right? Through that, I'm going to be drawing Arichas Yamim. This is how I do it. I make Torah important. I make Torah part of my life. I make it my business. And then I'm calling out the name of Hashem. The Torah is the name of Hashem. And when I call out the name of Hashem, I'm calling to him. Who is he? He is the Chayachayim. He's the life of all life. He is the Arichas Yamim. And I'm able to draw that Arichas Yamim into me, which is the key ingredient that I need to know in order to have the proper Malchus, in order to do it right. So it's very interesting because we're saying this idea that the Torah is the name of Hashem. So there's just a few ways. This will be a good way to end. No, we'll pick it up next week. So everybody knows, right? We talk about this a lot, that what were the vessels through which creation took place? What? Did you say the 10 spheres? Yeah, that's a good answer.
Speech.
A little bit. Speech. Good. Speech. And what's speech made up of? Is letters. Letters and words.
The olive base.
Olive base. The olive base is the vessels of creation. Right? Everything was created with olive base. We always say this, like, right, if we could, if anyone saw the movie The Matrix, right? If we could look and see creation, we'd see all the olive bases. And some people know some of this stuff and are able to see such things. Probably not like The Matrix, but somehow, right? For those of you who are too holy to know what The Matrix is, I'm sorry, but I had to bring it up. So the olive base, this is what it is. That's how creation takes place. And we know, how many names of Hashem do we know? I'm not talking about the Torah now. How many names of Hashem? We know a lot of names, right? There's a 72-word name of Hashem. There's a 42. There's Yudke Vavke, right? Which we say Ado, right? There's Elokeinu. Elokim, Elokeinu. There's Ka. There's Ekye. There's Shakai. There's Kel. There, right? How many? Excuse me, pardon me. There's Absag Man Ban, right? There's all these different names of Hashem. There's many, 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 many.
Shaddai.
Right? We said that one, Shakai, yeah?
Oh, Shakai.
Yeah, there's many, many names of Hashem. What are they? What are names of Hashem?
Different energies,
right? So what does that mean? We could say they're different names of Hashem are a different way that the infinite is revealed into our existence, right? Hashem is infinite. He's all encompassing, but he reveals his different, thank you, Carmela, attributes into the world through different names. Names are something that make a tzimtzum, a constriction, right? And they take a bigger energy, or in this case, the infinite, and they metzamtzim it, they constricts it, and puts it into one word, one name, that then draws a certain aspect of that energy into our existence. So too, a person's name, right? Every individual who's sitting here or on Zoom is a massive, gigantic spiritual entity, right? Like I remember, see, I think in the Nefesh HaChaim, he says if you would be able to see a person's soul, it would be like they're this gigantic, huge entity that goes into outer space, and our body is like a little shoe on the very, very bottom foot of that huge, gigantic spiritual entity, right? And our name, individual name, is something that makes a tzimtzum, is metzamtzim, constricts the infinite nature of our spiritual existence. Remember, we're a chelik elikah mimal, a piece of the infinite of Hashem, and constricts it down into a package. There's a beautiful Reb Nosson. He says it's not exactly connected to names, but it's very similar. I think it's in Parshas Nasa when Moshe Rabbeinu takes a census of Klal Yisrael, right? And he asks, why is it that we have to go, and each Jew, you have to go one, two, whatever, half shekel. Why does each Jew have to come and be represented in a certain way and numbered? Why do you got to number every individual Jew? And the answer that Reb Nosson gives over there is totally awesome. He says it's because the neshama of each Jew is so powerful. It's such a huge light that if you don't contain it and be mitzamtzim, it constrict it down into something smaller and like a vessel that can contain it, it would overpower everything around it. You could burn up your friends if the real power of your soul was able to come through, right? So this is the name, the individual existence, the counting, the number. But here, specifically names, this is what they do. They constrict and bring a certain existence into the world, and certainly by Hashem. So the whole Torah itself, the entire Torah, every letter and every word of the Torah is either one long name of Hashem or many, many, many different names of Hashem all in one package. And when we learn the Torah, that's why also he's going to say, he's going to say soon, you have to, when you're learning Torah, you have to do it out loud. You have to use your mouth, right? Because it's through speaking out those letters of the Torah, it's like you're calling to Hashem. You're calling His name, right? And he says over here also, this Indian, that it's why do we call the guy on Shabbos or Monday, Thursday, who's reading the Torah in shul? He's called the Baal Koire. Why is he called the Koire? Why isn't he called the Malamed HaTorah? Why isn't he teaching the Torah? Why is it he's just saying, reading, calling out the Torah? Because the whole Indian of doing that is to be calling to Hashem. Even, not you're not praying, right? You're not doing his bodidus. But even just saying the letters of the Torah out loud like that is actually calling to Hashem. So the word for calling out to somebody is the same word as reading. The same word as reading. So koire, to be koire in the Torah, to read the Torah, is also calling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's calling to that energy. It's calling to draw that power, that Arichas Yomim and Chaim, down into my existence. And this is the next step. We still don't know what we're doing, guys. Still, we cannot go home and rebuke anybody, still. Because we still don't know what we're doing. But what we do know so far, now, is that we're getting there. We're starting to get an idea of how we can figure out what it means to be mazhir and mechiach, to caution and rebuke. And it's going to be, let's just recap quickly, it's going to be that I have to draw down arichas yomim, and that arichas yomim needs to come down because it's going to give me what I need. It's going to go from keser into das. It's going to give me das. It's going to give me the knowledge, the intrinsic knowledge and ability to be able to be that force of malchus on the people that need it. And in order to get that das and arichas yamim, I can only get it from esek haTorah, from being involved in Torah, from making Torah my business. That's going to draw this stuff down onto me and give me this power. And how do I do that? Why? Because when I read Torah, when I learn Torah, and I do it with my mouth, I'm calling out all the time the name of Hashem. And when I call to Hashem, who's the Chaya Chaim, He's the source of Chaim, the source of arichas yamim, I'm drawing it down onto myself. It's going to build my das, my understanding, which is going to help me to be mechiach, to rebuke and to help those people below me, which is going to mean that the malchus is going in the right way, and it's not going to bury me, and it's going to do what we want it to do. It's going to make the malchus something holy that we're trying to do from the beginning. Any comments and questions?